Welcome to episode 38 of Stories from the VO Booth. I'm your host, voiceover talent and trainer, Tina Zaremba. Today I'm talking with the talented New York-based voiceover actor, Karin Guilfrey. Karin is honestly one of the most kindest and most generous voiceover actors I've ever met. And if you know anything about the VO community, there are a lot of really good peeps out there. She's at the top. Not only is Karin an accomplished voiceover artist who voices national commercials, live announce events to animation and way more, she's the founder of the online group Voice Actors of NYC. Listen in as Karin shares how her career as an opera singer brought her to voiceovers, where she feels new talent should start out, what her typical day is like, and so much more. Here's our chat. Karin Guilfrey, thank you so much for taking the time to chat with me.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
So, how did you find yourself as a voiceover actor? Because they don't talk about it at Career Day.
I know, except I actually did talk about it at Career Day at a high school recently. I mean, I do it every year, actually, in May in the Bronx, which is pretty fun. But
that's so crazy and cool.
Yeah, I know. It's fun. But that's not how I became a voice actor, not through Career Day. I actually started out as an opera singer. I have a degree from USC and one from Juilliard. And after I finished my master's at Juilliard, I kind of did the opera singer thing of doing what's called a young artist program, which is basically you're a contracted company member at a major opera house, and they kind of provide you with like lessons and coachings, and then you also sing small roles on the main stage. So I did that at the LA Opera for a while, and I also sang all over the world. And then I moved to Switzerland because Europe actually has a much better classical music scene than the US. And while I was there, I actually had like a pretty full season singing opera, but there was just so much time in between gigs. And anybody who knows me knows that I'm a person who really likes to be very busy. I was just really kind of bored and looking for something to do that was kind of along the same creative performing line as opera singing. And I had a friend who was doing audiobooks, and he said, you know, you could totally set up a studio in Switzerland and do audiobooks in the States remotely, which also worked with my visa because I could only sing opera in Europe, not do any other job. So when I was home for Christmas, I took a bunch of voice acting classes and then made a couple of audiobook sample demos with a friend of mine and went back to Switzerland, set up my home studio, and I was off and running, which was really fun. Awesome. Yeah.
What year was this that you dove into voiceovers?
This was like 2011, 2012, somewhere around there.
And how did you start? Particular lane or all over the map?
Yeah, so I started just only doing audiobooks, which I think is a great way for anyone who's starting in voiceover to begin their career, because voiceover now is so much about your whole business is not only your voice, it's also your home studio capabilities. So much of it is done from home. Part of that is being a very proficient audio engineer. That's what I wanted to say. You can do it in kind of like a low pressure situation. If you go to acx.com, which is a free website that connects mostly self-published authors and small publishing companies with people who have home studios to record audiobooks. You can work for royalty share, which means you get paid no money up front. You only make money when the book sells. You make a percentage of the sale. So it's really kind of low pressure, and you just jump in and learn how to record yourself and learn how to speak out loud and learn what your voice sounds like when you're wearing headphones and all of this stuff that is so vital in this business and will really set you apart from other people who are trying to do this.
Yeah. You know, I mentioned to you the last time we were talking that my first agent said to me, knowing that I did not have voiceover experience, she told me every day to read the New York Times.
Yeah.
Everything in the New York Times out loud.
Yeah.
I firmly believe that that's
sage advice to do audiobooks or, you know, like I said too, when you and I were chatting earlier, I volunteered for the blind and would read books, just textbooks and all different types of books. And I know that that was also helpful for me. Not so much for the technology piece of it, which is so important, like you said, now more than ever.
Absolutely. I mean, I don't know a single voice actor who makes their living from voiceover who does not do at least some work from home, from their home studio. And even if it's, even if you're like a big shot voice actor and you've never had to be your own engineer, let me start that again. Even if that was R2-D2 calling me.
I know. That's like, ooh, that's cool.
Even if you're like a big shot voice actor and you only ever record in a studio and you don't get any jobs on your own, you're only getting jobs through your agent or manager, most of the jobs that I get from my agent and manager require a self-submit audition that I have to record from home. Very few of them are in-person auditions anymore. Yeah. So, I mean, you have to at least be able to record decent quality audio for an audition at home. That's like the very base level.
What do you record in? What program?
I actually record in Logic Pro. But I do this weird thing where I have two programs open at all times because I record all of my projects in Logic. Uh-huh. But while I'm recording an audiobook or a long form project like e-learning or whatever in Logic, I'm always looking at my email and looking for audition updates and opportunities. And if I'm in the middle of recording an audiobook and an audition pops up, I just click over to GarageBand, actually, because it's easy to just record in GarageBand for an audition. I record the audition, send it out, go back to Logic. That way I don't have to close up the program, open up a brand new session, you know, save the session, close out of that, open up the last thing I was doing, hope that it's saved. You know, it's just right there and forth between two programs. And for me, actually, that means that I do like between 10 and 30 auditions a day.
I got lost in that you have two programs. I was picturing it in my head. I was actually thinking, oh, I want to videotape that and like see what that's actually like.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool. So what is a typical day like for you? You mentioned you do 10 to 30 auditions a day, like Monday through Friday or
Monday through Friday, usually. Yeah. Sometimes on the weekends, if there's something that's really good that pops up, I'll do it. But I usually take the weekends off. Mm-hmm. A typical day for me usually starts when my wonderful 15-month-old daughter wakes up, which is like anytime between 6 and 8 in the morning, usually around 7. And then from about 7 to 9, we eat breakfast, we have coffee, I kind of warm up my voice. And then she takes a morning nap. And during her morning nap, I answer emails. I might send an audition, a couple auditions that I see that it popped up that morning, and I do kind of some recording. I should mention too that my husband also does voiceover.
That's so cool.
He started when she was born. So he's just beginning his journey and I'm kind of far into it. So we switch off taking care of the baby while the other one's recording, which is really great. But you know, we're always together, which is
great. And then sometimes you need
to... I know, it's great. And then sometimes he's like, could you take the baby to the playground? And I'm like, yes, if you take her to the playground after. So she spends a lot of time at the playground. But back to my typical day, I typically do a few auditions and answer emails in the morning. We have lunch. I work in the afternoon. We have dinner. And then sometimes at night, I'll record an audiobook if it really needs to get done quickly. But usually I work from 9 to 5 and that's about it, with long breaks. And I also like, I play with my daughter at the playground and I go for a run every day. And I like do all this social media stuff for my Facebook group. And so it's pretty good. It's like, it's a good life. My mother-in-law is newly retired and she's like, oh my God, it's like you're retired. But it's really not, because I'm also always on call, and I'm in my booth at least 4 hours a day.
Yeah.
A 4 hour work day. It's not really a 4 hour work day because I'm answering emails and I'm looking for new potential clients and I'm doing auditions and whatever. But really, like, my focused sit down work time is around 4 hours a day. And that's not a lot compared to what a lot of people do for their jobs.
No, I know. You know, it's funny. I went to Michigan, where I'm originally from. And are you from the Midwest by chance?
No, I'm from California.
Well, it's funny. You have like a Midwest, or I could see the California vibe to you.
It's that voiceover thing.
Well, yeah. And your energy's relaxed though too. You don't have a frenetic New Yorkness to you.
Right.
But I went to Michigan for the month of August, and my family and my friends were like, well, how can you do this? But I had everything set up there.
Yep.
There's also a studio in the area that I was able to work out of.
Yeah.
So it is nice that we're able to do this. But like you said, you're always on call. It never stops.
Exactly.
So is there a particular lane that you focus on, or niche within voiceovers?
You know, I kind of do everything. I really like doing everything. I mean, like yesterday morning, I was a sea otter for
I read that on social. Yeah. I thought that was so cool.
Yeah, I played a sea otter, like an animated sea otter, and just like doing fun stuff. But I do at least 2 audiobooks a month. I do a lot of e-learning, and I do a lot of commercials. I would say those are my 3 top genres, are e-learning, audiobooks, and commercials. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I do on hold message sometimes. I speak German and Spanish and French. I sometimes do like bilingual on hold systems, but my French and German and Spanish is not without a slight accent. Mm-hmm. I don't sound totally like a native speaker. I can do it for a company that's like based in California, and they want somebody to sound like they mostly speak Spanish, but they're maybe not a native Spanish speaker.
Yeah. That's great that you have that though.
Yeah. German, actually, because I grew up in Switzerland until I was 9. So German, I speak pretty much without an accent. And I also speak this weird dialect of German called Swiss German, which very few people speak, and even fewer people speak it and do voiceover. So like, I'm the on hold message voice for Expedia in Switzerland.
which is kind of
funny. But yeah, that's helpful too, to have more than one language.
I know that in addition to being amazing at voiceovers, you also have created this amazing community online for voice actors, the voice actors of NYC. How did that come about?
Yeah, so I was in a New York voice actor group for just women, and it was such a wonderful, positive thing. And I wanted to create a group like that, that my husband could be a part of when he started doing voiceover. So that's how we kind of started Voice Actors of NYC. I looked on Facebook and I saw that there wasn't a New York voice actor group. And so I thought, man, I mean, if anyone's going to do it, I may as well do it, because what if somebody else does it and they're terrible at it? So that's how it kind of got started. The goal of the group now is really, a lot of it is based around meeting each other in person, which is awesome for me, because, you know, voiceover can be so isolating. We don't ever see each other because we work alone. So I wanted to create a place where people could kind of get together and talk away from the internet. I think people also in person are much more, they're less guarded. They'll like really tell you like it is. Whereas if you're writing on the internet, you know, it's there forever. So you can say something about this time that you like only got paid $250 by this client, and then it's like there forever.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah,
so, but in person, if you're just talking to somebody, you can tell them, and that doesn't stay online. So I think that's really important.
Meetups with the group?
Yeah, we have at least 2 events a month now. We started having way too many. We started having way too much interest in having events. In the month of June, I think we had 5 or 6 different events, because I just had teachers who were just offering to teach these amazing classes, and I didn't want to say no. Now we've decided to limit it to 2 a month. So it's a combination of classes that teachers in New York City are teaching, like real vetted voiceover teachers.
Yeah.
And then meetup events, like we have a discussion forum and we have a class that I am very proud of called the Community Teachathon, which is 6 teachers doing little TED Talk style lessons in 3 hours. So everybody gets 15 to 20 minutes to present a little snippet about what they do in voiceover. And it's been really great.
People pay to attend those, or how does that work?
Exactly. So that is the fun part about this group, is that all of our classes now are free or donation based. And
I knew that. I just wanted you to say it because I think it's so awesome.
Voiceover, I feel like there are a lot of swindlers out there. People who...
Oh, sister.
Yeah. There are people who charge an arm and a leg for a demo and the demo is not that great. And there are people who charge $100 for a demo and it's not, and it's horrible. You know, it's just all over the map. So I wanted to create a place where you can come and you can like test out a class with a teacher and pay, you know, a suggested donation price. You don't feel like you've wasted $80 on an hour with somebody who you may or may not like. And then if you love them, you can take their regular classes, which they charge a regular rate.
Right. Oh.
And people ask me, people have asked me like, so are you making money from this group? And the answer is absolutely no, not at all. That's not my goal with the group. I feel like if I'm asking teachers to donate their time for things like the Teachathon, I cannot take money. So we have a little bit of a budget, which we use for space rental. And then people make donations and then it goes to the next time for space rental. Or like sometimes we'll buy some chips or we'll buy some soda or something with our little budget. But no, we're not making money from it.
That is so awesome.
So how can people learn more about you?
You can go to my website, which is karingilfry.com, spelled CARINGILFRY.com. Also have a website for my home studio, which is a closet. My closet has its own website.
Oh my God. I'm going to it right now. Tell me.
It's gilfreystudios.com. I set up that page mostly because sometimes clients, when you say you have a home studio, they're like, but we really need you to go to like a professional studio. Well, my studio has its own website and I actually just recently incorporated this year. So my company name is my studio name, Gilfrey Studios Incorporated. They can go to my website and they can see the commercials that I've recorded for national TV campaigns and big brands and things like that. And then it puts their mind at ease when they decide to use my home studio. And it saves me a trip on the hot, sweaty subway in the summer.
Yeah. All right. My last question for you.
Sure.
Maya Angelou says, words mean more than what is set down on paper. It takes the human voice to infuse them with deeper meaning. What do you hope your overall voice conveys in life and in work?
Oh, man. What does my voice convey in life and in work?
What do you hope it conveys?
Yeah, I mean, I think that in the world today, when I feel like people are just really mean to each other, back and forth, especially in the political climate that we live in and everything that's happening. And so my main philosophy in life is just to be nice. I find that the nicer I am to my colleagues, the nicer I am to my clients, if I do a favor for people every once in a while, it comes back to me tenfold. And I hope that in my auditions and in my voiceover work, that comes through. I think it does. I hope so. I mean, there are certainly jobs I've done where I have to be stern and powerful or whatever, but I just hope that kind of like love of community and empathy and that niceness comes through.
Oh, it does. Especially in your Zulily spot. I was like, I want to be her friend. Well, I thank you so much for taking the time to chat with me.
You are so welcome. Thank you so much for having me. This was fun.
Thanks for listening in. And a reminder, if you haven't taken my free 5-day VO challenge, you can sign up at tinazvotraining.com/challenge. I created this interactive challenge as a roadmap to help talent that feels stuck in their voiceover career. In my mind, these 5 days go through key areas to help flip the switch. And as I mentioned, it's an interactive challenge. So if you share your progress and comments, I'll be watching and commenting. Until next time, here's to owning our voices.